Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Week one for the Titans is almost here, and to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend John Glennon from Broadway Sports. John, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I am doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are doing wonderful. Appreciate you taking time to join us. And, John, obviously a lot to get to with the Titans coming up for week one. I want to start, though, with the right tackle position. Obviously, Tyson Brailoe, David Quesenberry, Kendall Lamb, all involved in a competition for the right tackle spot at this moment. Ben Jones and Nate Davis have missed some time as of late. How do you think this right tackle position is going to shake out? Who starts for the Titans coming up on Sunday against Arizona at that spot?
You know, I think in a perfect world, I think the Titans would kind of prefer either Lamb or Sambrello in there. Now, you know, I think it may well wind up being Quesenberry. But here's my thinking on this. You know, Quesenberry has been getting by far the most snaps in camp because he's been the healthiest, the most durable and so forth, whereas Sambrello and Kendall Lamb have both been dealing with injuries. So to me, if Quesenberry was definitely the guy and he's been getting all those snaps, Mike Vrabel would have had no, qualms about saying Quesenberry is my starter yesterday. But he's still saying that position is sort of up for grabs. If Sambrello or Lamb is healthy enough, I think they get the nod. But at this point, I still think they're working their way towards 100%. So I will say the big Q man winds up starting there on in game one anyway.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point because I think Vrabel probably would have just answered, he's the right tackle. It sounds like he would like there to be an increased competition this week and see if someone else could potentially get in there. But Quesenberry has been, even last year, John, right? I mean, he, as the third left tackle, I thought he was fine. I mean, I didn't see a huge difference between him and Sambrello, but I also wasn't grading the film snap after snap like you and Pro Football Focus like to do. So,
I think so, but I think we clearly saw a differentiation in Mike Vrabel's mind too. That when both were completely healthy, that Sambrello was the guy. You know, Sambrello was the first to fill in for Luan. You know, Quesenberry was right next after that. So that's the way I think it'll go. If Sambrello or Lamb are a little healthier, may lean that way. And so even if it's not this first week, I think that may go in that direction down the line here. But
What do you, I'm watching Julio Jones and AJ Brown. We didn't have a lot of time out there yesterday, but I thought they looked fast and healthy. What do you think about that? What do you think about just the receiver rotation? And do you think those guys are going to be ready to kind of unveil what this offense is supposed to be right away Sunday?
I think so. You know, Julio Jones in recent years, he hasn't been a big training camp guy in Atlanta. I think he's reached the point, his veteran status, to the point that, he doesn't need to be out there every snap. What is a concern, of course, is that this is a new system for Julio Jones. This is a new quarterback for Julio Jones, and there's not been much time to kind of get things down pat with either Ryan Tannehill or the system. So that is a bit of a concern in my mind. But as far as health, I think he's going to be okay. I think he's at the point, as I say, in his career where, he can kind of manage himself during practice and say, okay, I'm ready to go. And A.J. Brown, I think similar, again, as you said, they both looked good in the brief time that we saw about them yesterday. As far as the rotation of receivers, maybe the only mild surprise to me when they put out the unofficial depth chart yesterday was that Chester Rogers is kind of the tentative slot starter as opposed to Josh Reynolds. But honestly, that doesn't surprise me too much because Chester Rogers is a much better slot guy. That's what he's played almost solely the last couple years. Josh Reynolds has played there, you know, a bit, but that's not definitely his position. So I think they're putting Chester Rogers in a spot where he's very comfortable, where he will benefit the offense. And Josh Reynolds, you know, will rotate in with the other guys as well. And you know, I'm not sure we're going to see a ton, you know, of Julio Jones snaps, maybe game one, maybe not as much as we might see, you know, a few games down the line. So Josh Reynolds can probably help in that type of situation as well.
John Glennon for Broadway Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, John, with that in mind, you covered this Titans team for a long time, and there have been some lean years, and there have been some years with pretty high expectations. Obviously, a ton of hype around this Titans team with Julio Jones joining the fold as well. When's the last time you think a Titans team had this high of expectations heading into a season? And with that in mind, what do you think are fair expectations for this Titans team as they kick things off for real coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, it's been a while. You know, I think it's fair to say that last year there were pretty solid, you know, expectations as well. I think people expected the defense to be better last year, and honestly, I think you know, I think people expected a pretty good season from the Titans. But yeah, I think it's fair, certainly, to say this Titans team should be the favorite to win the division yet again. You know, I think the quarterback situation is the big difference between them and the Indianapolis Colts, and unless Carson Wentz returns to yesteryear form. So I think that's a reasonable expectation. And once you're in the playoffs, you know, who knows what's going to happen after that. I don't think they're, you know, at this stage on the same plane as the Chiefs or, you know, they're close in that next tier as well. But I think it's fair to have high expectations for this group. At the same time, there are questions. You know, there, as we mentioned, this is a new offensive coordinator. This is an offense that hasn't had much practice, you know, with one another in this entire training camp. And then defensively, it's a young group of cornerbacks, you know, talented bunch, but still very young. We still don't know the pass rush for sure, what it's going to be like. You know, there are some encouraging things that we saw in the preseason, but there are still some questions to be answered about the Titans, despite the fact I think we should consider them, you know, at the very least, the AFC South favorites.
So this defense, John, what's what do you think is, I guess, the most encouraging thing you saw in the preseason and how it will relate to this Sunday and Sundays moving forward? And what is, I guess, maybe your biggest question mark after camp?
Yeah, I would say in terms of a question mark on defense, again, it's the I would say it's the corner situation primarily. You know, we know Jackrabbit Jenkins is a veteran, you know, a solid performer. He's going to, you know, do a good job, I think, for the Titans. After that, you got a lot of question marks. You know, Christian Fulton, you know, a talented corner, no doubt, but really played very little last year. We'll have to see what he's going to do. And of course, Caleb Farley, you know, again, extremely talented. We know that, but it's going to take some time before he's kind of NFL ready to play a lot of snaps on a regular basis. So that area is certainly going to be tested. But in terms of encouragement, you know, for the defense, I think you had to love what you saw in terms of aggressiveness of this group and in terms of how they did on third downs as well. We all know what a disaster third downs were for the Titans last year. And again, this was preseason. They were not facing a number one quarterback. But just to see a more aggressive unit in general, a team that seemed to, you know, communicate better out there, and to have you know, such a good record on third downs. I mean, I want to say they only gave up like seven first downs on maybe over 30 third down attempts. I mean, it was pretty impressive. And again, preseason. But that to me was a very encouraging sign. Now, can they carry that over into the regular season?
John, is there anything that Derrick Henry could do this year to surprise you? Or has that ship sailed already?
If he comes out blocking for Kari Blossom games, that would be a big, solid surprise.
50 yards.
You know, I guess the only thing that could surprise at this point for Derrick Henry is if he became more of a force in the passing game. And, you know, Joe, you know this too. Every single practice out there, Derrick Henry, you know, almost in whatever spare time he has, he's catching passes. You know, Tony Dews, the running backs coach, when they have a little spare moment, he's throwing passes at him, whether Derrick Henry is running, whether he's just, you know, stationary. It's something he constantly works at because that's not, you know, something that comes naturally to him. I don't know if he will ever be, you know, huge in that department because he's not a little scat back. It usually takes him a few, you know, strides to get going, and he doesn't have that immediate quick cut that you might need in the passing game. But if they could work him in a little bit more, you know, get him successful in screens and things like that, maybe that adds a whole new level to Derrick Henry's game.
I mean, I want to see Derrick Henry on like a, you know, like a wheel route. Yeah. Like catch like a 50-yard pass.
Just
why
keep
not?
Going, man.
Yeah. Why not? Hey, give it a shot.
That's right. We saw Blossom game do that, right, at least once last year. So, you know, it's not out of the question.
All right, so you went on the conspiracy that was clearly concocted to try to make it so I don't win the Titans Media Fantasy League, you know, second year in a row. You can admit it.
I was not in. Why? Because you were falling asleep at the late hour of 9 o'clock last night. Is that what you're talking about, old man?
I clicked on that website at 9 o'clock, and my pick had been picked for me.
He's really upset about it this morning, Jim.
Well, did you see how many F bombs I typed into the message? I mean, there was
a significant. You were Vrabeling. You were channeling your inner Vrabel. There was no doubt. But I gotta say, I was all set to give you the business this morning about your team, and I looked again. I kind of like your team. Despite the fact that you were auto picked there right away, but pretty solid group. I'm having trouble giving you the business. You know, I might, you know, you may finish within the first 10 or the top 10 of this fantasy group anyway.
Yeah. No, thanks. Well, I mean, you know, you got to treat the defending champ with some respect. I'm glad to know you're so obsessed that you're already checking out my team this morning.
Wow.
I was all set to take a few stabs at you. I'm like, damn, Rexford did pretty well for himself.
All
man.
Right. Okay.
Good
all
on
right.
him.
That's good. It's a good way to, disarm me.
That's right. It's just buttering you up before he just eviscerates you in fantasy football this year. It's going to be awesome to see. John, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Looking forward to your coverage at Broadway Sports for the Titans this year. And I appreciate you once again joining us this morning.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. John Glennon from Broadway Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. And a fantasy football opponent for Joe Rex Road as well.
I actually feel better about my team now. He's probably lying, but still. I needed a little pick-me-up.
We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what John Glennon had to say there. Also get to some breaking Titans news on the Julio Jones front as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores the goal in the game this Saturday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to John Glennon for joining us in the last segment. And, Joe, some breaking news as well on the Titans front, and I don't think a huge surprise here, but Field Yates was the first one I saw put this out. The Titans converting $14 million of Julio Jones' salary into a signing bonus, creating $11.2 million in cap space and adding two void years as well. So $14 million converted of Julio Jones' salary into a signing bonus and $11.2 million in cap space created as well.
Yep, so yeah, those void years. So it you got more space now. To the point of the Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Talk piece, you know, you look at the 11 in base salary, 11 plus, like what if Julio Jones has a great year for the Titans, you know, does that then embolden him to be looking for, you know, something new, something more? This has happened before with Julio Jones.
It has.
So, but hey, that's a problem the Titans would love to have. They would love to have him be so good this year, you know, that there's talk of maybe sweetening the deal for him.
So with that in mind,
redoing the deal.
I was going to wait to talk about this till next segment, but it feels like a pretty good opportunity right now with that news in the fold. So this is Julio Jones. This is going to be his first game as a member of the Titans. Looks like he's a full go out there from what you've been able to see in practice. And we could get our first glimpse on Sunday of A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill all on the field together at the same time in a game setting. What are fair expectations for Julio Jones this year? Obviously, a lot of hype around the Titans, and a lot of that has to do with the addition of Julio Jones and what he could bring to this offense. As we sit here today, given training camp going the way that it went and Julio not being on the field all that much, what are fair expectations for Julio Jones as we sit here today a few days before week one this year?
Well, I think fair expectation, I start with just availability. I understand that, like, if he plays every game and then he has like 27 catches for, 300 yards, then that's okay. That's not okay. But just, can he be out there? Can he be healthy? Does he play all or most of the season? I think if he does, he's going to be very productive. It's just so hard. Again, I will take this to the fantasy drafting because I just did it, and we're going to do it again tomorrow. Sometimes, that really crystallizes things for you. And I was like, I had A.J. Brown actually there for me, and I didn't take him. And I was like, I just don't know how it's going to go with these guys. Health-wise, ball distribution-wise, like, the Titans could have a great offense this year, be over 30 points again, and I think the stats could vary pretty widely in terms of pass catchers. I think that I'd be shocked if they do that and Derrick Henry isn't at 1500 plus. He's the sure thing as far as an offensive producer. But I could see Julio Jones, missing some games and having 800 yards receiving or something like that, and still being a big factor in a successful offense.
Yeah.
So it's just hard for me to – I think if you just say, okay, what numbers would be good for – well, you'd like to see Julio Jones get 75, 80 catches and 1,000-plus yards.
Yeah, I mean, look, if that's not the expectation for Julio Jones – is to come in and be a guy like that who can catch 75, 80 balls, give you over 1,000 yards, I'm not sure why you made the trade. Like, that should be the expectation for Julio Jones.
Well, except that we don't know how defenses are going to attack the Titans, and I think that he could be a very high price but very effective decoy some weeks. There's going to be some weeks where it's – I think Tannehill is really good at not – even last year, like A.J. Brown, clearly in some situations, maybe he should have done this more, as in the playoff game. But, sometimes you got to throw it to your best player. But for the most part, I just think Tannehill's really good at pre-snap recognition and just going where they ain't, just spreading the ball around, taking good matchups. There's going to be some good matchups for other people. So I think Julio Jones, if he's out there healthy, available, and playing well and still making plays, he could have underwhelming numbers. But if your numbers as an offense are great, that to me still speaks to his value.
I would agree. I just still think he's good enough to where he's going to demand the ball to be thrown to him a lot. And Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, we've talked about it. How much are the Titans going to throw the ball more this year? There's obviously a temptation, and I understand it. As the game goes on, you're going to give the ball to Derrick Henry a lot, and Derrick Henry is going to get a lot of carries this year. Now, is he going to get 400 carries like he did a year ago? Maybe not. We'll find out what that extra game means on that front as well, and how the Titans utilize him offensively. But, to me, Julio Jones at this age, I'm not expecting 1,800 yards and 203 targets like we saw in 2015. I'm not really expecting anywhere near that. But if you told me right now that Julio Jones didn't get 1,000 yards this year, I'd be disappointed by that. Like, that's why you make a trade, to go get a guy like Julio Jones, to bring him in and to bring some of that production. Now, obviously, barring health, and that's the part of this that we don't know, but if Julio Jones is available all season, 1,000 yards needs to be a part of this equation, in my opinion.
Yeah, but if if he's, let's say he's at 850 and A.J. Brown's at 1,400 and Derrick Henry's at 1,500 and they're at 31 points, is that because, and that's the thing, we're talking about numbers before we ever watch anybody play.
Sure.
That could be because teams are just like, you know what, they're going to bracket him more, or it could be like Tannehill has a great connection with A.J. Brown and didn't have the time to build with Julio,
yeah.
Or it takes him 5-6 games to get that, or whatever. I just think it could still be really good without those numbers. Also, you flip it around, and I can see Julio Jones having like 1,400 and A.J. Brown having like 900. I think it's could go so many different ways. You know how it is, like on a given week, you know, sometimes you hit two big shots, and all of a sudden you got a 200-yard receiving game.
Right.
I mean, and well, then 1 week you have three catches for 17 yards.
Sure.
You know, it's just.
Well, a lot of this is, I think, what I'm maybe most intrigued to see as the big picture develops. And outside of the wins and the losses and all that, is on a week-to-week basis, if this offense can stay healthy and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Derrick Henry are all the players we think they can be, how do defenses choose to defend them each week? Because, number one, I think it's going to change on a week-to-week basis. I think it's going to depend on who they're playing and the matchups they bring to the table. But, I mean, if A.J. Brown is just carving teams up because they're spending a lot of time focusing on Julio Jones, I would imagine at some point that's going to change and they're going to shift their attention to A.J. Brown. Can Julio Jones take advantage of that? Like, that to me may be the most intriguing part of not only this Titans team this year, but really one of the big storylines of the NFL as a whole is how do defenses go about trying to defend this offense? Because it's almost a pick-your-poison type deal, and I think it's going to change pretty dramatically from week to week.
Yeah, like I'm very interested to watch these guys play and how they all work together, but I'm almost as excited to just see what defenses are doing, you know, and how it changes from week to week. It's going to be, and that's the thing. Apart from the numbers, you just want to see these guys be hell on defenses like they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because if they're playing like we know they can play and what they've already done in the league, it should work, right? It should work as long as your quarterback is playing like he's been playing and just, you know, finds the matchups, gets the ball out fast, lets them make plays. I'm not saying it's a foolproof plan, but boy,
it
seems like it has a chance to work.
We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What are fair expectations this season for Julio Jones? Hit up our text line. We'll get to as many of those thoughts coming up next as we can. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Save cash with the purchase of a $10 gift card for Retro Snow for only $5. Nashville's original shaved ice truck, bringing back snowballs with creativity and pure cane sugar, dreaming up new flavor combinations and adding fresh, delicious toppings is what makes us Retro Snow and Nashville's original shaved ice truck. Go visit their first ever permanent location in the nation's at 806 51st Avenue North, open Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 7 p.m. Check out Retro Snow's truck schedule at RetroSnowTruck.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. You can visit our brand new location in Murfreesboro at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Gabe in Columbia texting in. To Joe's point about defenses adjusting to the Titans' offense from week to week, it's going to be fascinating to see how Belichick, famous for creative schemes, deploys his defense against the Titans in late November. And that is true. They will see Bill Belichick this year. We'll see how the Wizard decides to try to defend the Titans.
Now focus on the game at hand. Don't get too far ahead of yourself.
That's right.
You know, you live in the moment.
1 week at a time.
That's right.
Got to get better play to play.
What's that?
Got to get better play to play.
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah better play. Yeah, 1% better. 1% right. Better every day.
Thank you. Adam in Portland on the text line. 80 catches, 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns, Super Bowl MVP honors for Julio Jones.
Oh, is that all?
That is – now, it's funny because Adam, obviously, I think, is joking there, maybe to some degree. Maybe not to some degree.
It's hard. You never know. What's, you know, is it sarcasm or not?
That's true. You know? Well, the interesting part of this, though, is going to be the touchdowns. And I've got some FanDuel odds I'm going to give us here in just a second on some prominent members of the Titans. But we've talked about this before. Like, Julio Jones has never really been a huge touchdown guy. He had 10 in 2012. That was the most he's ever had. He had 8 in 2015. Since then, it's been 6, 3, 8, 6, and 3. So not a huge touchdown guy, especially when you consider like the volume of passes that Julio Jones has had thrown his way. Not a ton of touchdowns. He's got 60 touchdowns in his career, which is a good number, but you would expect a guy like Julio Jones probably to have found the end zone a little bit more often. I'm interested in this offense. Is that number going to remain the same? Is it going to go up? What do touchdowns look like for Julio Jones in this offense? That's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, and he's been on some very prolific. I was going to say, you know, you could look at this offense and say, well, if everything works out great, then touchdowns for everybody. But he's been on prolific offenses before. It is, those are surprising numbers, honestly. Like, and it actually kind of explains. Certainly, I've had him a few times in fantasy football.
Yeah,
and, you know, kind of underwhelming a little bit.
But doesn't he kind of seem like he would be – like, I look at Julio Jones and the size that he brings to the table and then the speed that he brings to the table as well, and I think to myself, golly, if like there's a wide receiver that should be a gigantic red zone weapon, it's Julio Jones.
Yeah. One thing that I haven't watched film of his entire career, but you haven't seen a lot of like jump balls, just like end zone fades
fade
and stuff
routes,
like that
yeah.
to him. And you would think that would be – pretty obvious for him. I mean, his length is, his size, very obvious out there. So I don't know why that would be. But obviously, great run after the catch guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm trying, who scored all those touchdowns for the Falcons? I mean, Devontae Freeman scored a lot of them, you know. Maybe Matt Ryan spread it around. They've had other good weapons, but I don't know. I mean, I could see him having plenty of TDs this year for the Titans. I feel like Firkser is a guy who's going to be a real red zone weapon, but it's not like Firkser's had a whole bunch of touchdowns either. You know, he has not found the end zone too often in his career. So, you know, I'd put my money on Derrick Henry to have more than anyone else.
That's the
only thing I really feel good about.
I have a feeling A.J. Brown find the end zone a few times too.
Yep.
On that front. Mason on YouTube says, I don't care what Julio does during the regular season as long as he's healthy and productive down the home stretch and into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I would argue that he has to – there's a certain level of production that they're going to need from him to get to the playoffs.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you could pick Julio out some, not doing a ton, you know, first half of the year, but know that he would be – healthy at the end and like full go Julio Jones, I still think this team could certainly be in position for that to matter
sure.
by the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, availability, all three of those guys, all four of those guys, Ryan Tannehill included.
That's maybe the most important.
That's right. Because that's the thing. You have other receivers. If one of those guys were to be out in a given week or a couple weeks, you're okay. Derrick Henry, that's a big one. But, yeah. You lose your quarterback, and Logan Woods, I can throw a lot of receiver screens, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. But
well, we saw it earlier in the show. I mean, the Titans wire, the USA Today, is picking 3 1,000-yard receivers for the Titans. So that would be A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and I guess one of Anthony Firkser or Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, sure.
Should have just taken. You got to pick somebody, right?
Yeah, or pick them both. I mean, if you're going to make some bold predictions, pick them both. 4,000-yard receivers.
And a 2,000-yard rusher that's the league MVP.
Right. A team that never doesn't have the ball.
Well, maybe the Titans defense is going to be that good where it's just three and out all day, baby.
Three and outs, onside kicks.
Get that time of possession. Tip. Just grinding teams out.
Yep, tip passes and picks. Yeah. I see the picture. I see it all coming together.
Adam texting back in, I never joke about my Titans. I expect Julio to light the league on fire in this offense. Tell me the running backs he's had to relieve pressure in his career. Joe always with something to say. Hashtag text rival.
Text rival.
You and Adam are getting after each other on the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. As Joe immediately picks up his phone and begins texting Adam.
Right, now I need to go ahead and get after him.
Haters are Joe's motivators.
That's true.
Whoa, I like that. Nice rhyme there. John Choate on Twitter says, I think it's possible AJ has career yards, but Julio sacrifices yards, but has career TD catches.
Okay.
Yeah. I think just about any combination I could see happening. I mean, you look at a football season, and honestly, like if you have three monster games, you know, as a receiver, it's never consistent, right? It's never like every single week you get eight catches for, you know, you get 6 to 8 catches for between 90 and 120 yards.
Rarely.
Every single week. Yeah. Yeah. Rarely.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, all it takes is a couple monster days for one of them maybe to go beyond the other one. But again, the point is, are they out there all the time? And are they as much a problem on a consistent basis for defenses to figure out how to defend this team as they should be?
It's going to be a really interesting thing to figure out.
And then you execute.
Yeah, and that execution begins on Sunday against Arizona. When we come back, I've got some interesting odds from the FanDuel Sportsbook on some key Titans players this week, some over-unders that we'll hit coming up next. Make sure you stay tuned for that. We welcome your participation as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the Cleveland Browns taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Coverage begins at 2:45 with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about our free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexro, there's a nice texting rivalry developing between you and Adam in Portland. It's quite something on the text line. Well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Well, if he makes good points, it would be a good rivalry. So he says, okay, so he said, you know, what running back has had to help relieve pressure on Julio Jones in his career? And I said, well, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, pretty hell of a combo there. And he said, so were Lendell White and Travis Henry. I can name old players who didn't help receivers too. Hashtag anyone else. So they didn't help Julio Jones? Like, if you have good running backs, I mean, Devontae Freeman in particular was a very good running back for a few years in this league. You don't think that helped Julio Jones? Who was better at their position? Julio Jones. But it'll always be the case in football. Balance matters. And I think they had a really good balance there.
Yep.
They had an unbelievable offense for a few years in there. That's why they should have won a Super Bowl with that offense.
I was in Disney World a couple weeks ago, and there was a Patriots fan walking around Disney World, and all the shirts said it was the Fox Sports cutout of the 28-3 lead for the Falcons. That was something.
I bet. I mean, 28-3 will never be forgotten in Atlanta.
No, it won't.
But, I mean, look, go back and watch that team and tell me that those backs didn't help Julio. But also, Adam, I missed Adam had the hot take about Milton was way overconfident because he said had one quote. And then this is what he says about the Steelers. Been a season ticket
holder.
I think holder must be. It says ticket me ever, but believe me, autocorrect gets me a lot too. Been a season ticket holder for a long time. Steelers fans are the second worst fans to deal with. Ravens by far the worst. They're so confrontational,
really?
Loud. They travel well, so it makes them awful to deal with. Win, lose, or draw, always a loud group. I hope Michelle isn't as arrogant and terrible to deal with as the jokers I've met through the years.
Yeah.
Adam?
Now we get rivalry with you and Adam too.
Well, that
I will say,
Adam's on the
I've met some pretty annoying Steelers fans. Now, I'm also well aware that there are some Green Bay Packers fans out there that are pretty insufferable. It's pretty bad.
I mean, I know of drunken Packers fans who have yelled at a child for wearing a Lions jersey.
Yes.
Who's Adam's team?
Titans.
Yeah, he's a Titans season ticket holder.
Look, Titans fans do not like Steelers fans. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. Well, I think, honestly, like, the numbers would be one big thing, right? Well, a lot here and a lot who show up when they play here. And
The 08 game between the Titans and the Steelers here at...
Which got home field, right?
Which got home field for the Titans, which, by the way, was a great game. There was some hostility in that place between the Titans and Steelers fans. Keith Bullock stomping on the terrible towel on the sideline. There was... Titans-Steelers fans do not like each other at all.
So there you
now,
go.
Now, I'm surprised that he has the Ravens at number one, because typically, I mean, I've heard some pretty bad things about Raiders fans coming in here.
But here's the thing. To me, Ravens fans, if you're a season ticket holder in particular, it totally makes sense, because that means that, well, depending on how far back Adam goes with the tickets, you've been in that stadium for really some of the worst moments in franchise history.
Yes.
With teams that could have won it all.
With some loudmouth
Ravens
fans.
Right, and then the Ravens fans are in your face about those, right?
Correct.
So that's probably where it comes from. That'd be my guess. But you tell me, Adam. I mean, I'd rather hear your answer to that than any more bad takes from you today, Adam, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
We've got some FanDuel Sportsbook odds to throw your way regarding the Tennessee Titans. I mentioned the Julio Jones touchdown. The over-under for Julio Jones touchdowns this year for the Titans set at 6.5. 6.5 for Julio Jones. As I said, last few years, you look at his touchdown totals, he had 8 in 2018, 6 in 2019, and 3 last year, although last year he played in 9 games. So 6.5, the over-under for Julio Jones.
I might pop the over there. Another game, extra game.
I'm tempted to pop the over there,
you
too.
You know, prolific offense in theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good spot for it, though.
The receiving yards over-under total for Julio Jones, 950.5. 950.5, the over-under for Julio Jones for the Titans.
Again, this goes back to fantasy drafting last night and just not being sure. That's a tough one. Will not be surprised if he's, you know, beyond 1,000. This year, certainly that can happen. He's paid to be that kind of receiver. He still, when he played last year, I think he still looked like one of the best receivers in the league. But when he played last year,
yep.
So is that the start of something where he's available less often? And then just this offense could, you could have weeks where the Titans are absolutely rolling and Henry has a huge game and AJ Brown has a huge game. And Firkser takes advantage of some great matchups. And Julio Jones, again, 3 catches, 17 yards. And no one's, I mean, maybe he wouldn't be happy about it. But they're winning, they're rolling, and it's just, you know, that's what the defense dictated. Or that's just where Tannehill went with the ball.
The over-under for A.J. Brown for receiving yards, 1,200.5. 1,200.5, the over-under. For A.J. Brown.
Wow. See, I think I'd probably go with the under there. But I wouldn't – again, I don't think it's crazy to think he could exceed that.
I just love how it's 1,200 on the dot and then a half.
They both have a half yard. They both have a hook on the yardage. That's interesting, though, that he that his over-under is set 250 yards beyond Julio Jones' over-under.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is probably more than anything Julio's age, Julio coming off an injury, not injury, plagued season, but hammy, cost him a lot of games last year.
The touchdown total for A.J. Brown, over under 9.5. 9.5, the touchdown total for A.J. Brown on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And if memory serves me correctly, I think he had 11 last year. I can double check that real quick. But I believe he had 11. A year ago. He did. 11 touchdowns last year.
He's so physical. That's where I think, you know, he has the edge over Julio Jones in the red zone, is that he's so hard to body out. I mean, he's so good at boxing out if he needs to. Well, also, he can just carry half a defense into the end zone.
We have seen that.
On a bum leg. So that's still I think I'd hit the over on that one. I think with 17 games.
Yeah.
Health is still the same with him. Considering, you know, a knee procedure after the season and a little bit of missed time, some reporting on a knee thing this year. But, again, I got that video yesterday at practice. made sure to show. There's nothing.
At Joe Rexroad on Twitter.
Yeah, that's right. There's not. Neither guy had any sleeves on or anything. They were doing all the drills, the ladder drill, doing it, and even telling the coaches, this is not how to do the drill. This is how you're supposed to be doing the drill. But they were fully explosive and not protected in any way.
Right.
So four legs involved there. None of the legs had anything on other than shorts and cleats.
Derrick Henry, over under 1539.5. 1539.5 rushing yards over under for Derrick Henry. That's an interesting one.
It's a good over under. So with these props, is every single one have a half yard?
Well, yeah. So if he gets 1539.
Well, I guess that's right. It has to.
Yeah. If he gets 1539,
then right.
You're out of luck.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I told you I was going to be brain dead today. We're almost through 3 hours.
We are.
And I've only muted myself one time. That's it's actually good. An incredibly successful day.
Just blame it on the draft. Just blame it on the Titans media draft.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, they keep me up all night and then try to screw me over. It's fine. I'm in their heads. That's a good over-under for Derrick Henry. I think I might
I'm going over.
I think I might go the over too, but like
barely.
Like 1580. You know, something
I'll go
like that.
1634.
Okay.
That's the first number that came to mind. 1634 for Derrick Henry.
It's a good number.
Write it down. Over under 13.5 rushing touchdowns for Derrick Henry. 13.5. And if memory serves me correctly, he had 17 a year ago. So over under 13.5 for Derrick Henry. I'm going over on that one.
I'm going over too. You add a game, and I just think they're going to be in that position a lot where they're going to be close and they're going to give it to him and he's going to get in. And they should score a lot of touchdowns this year. He should have a lot of opportunities. So you expect him to hit a couple home runs. So there you go.
Ryan Tannehill, over under 4,100.5 passing yards. 4,100.5 passing yards for Ryan Tannehill on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Would be the first 4,000-plus in Titans history.
Correct.
Not franchise. Cause
Warren Moon.
Warren Moon, 1991, 4,690. I only know that because of an earlier segment about some crazy predictions. But I don't know.
That's a big number.
It's a big number.
4,100.5.
I mean, I guess if I'm expecting Derrick Henry to be more in the 1,500-1,600 range with an extra game, and I
got to make up for that somewhere,
right? And this offense is going to be as prolific as it's supposed to be, then I guess I'd hit the over there.
And this is the one to me that I really couldn't figure out because Tannehill threw for 33 touchdowns last year. The over-under for Tannehill for touchdowns this year, 29.5. And it feels like, all right, he threw 33 touchdowns last year with Corey Davis and Khalif Raymond playing significant minutes at the receiver spot.
Jonnu Smith.
Now you've got Julio Jones and A.J. Brown and Firkser and Rodgers and Reynolds, all these different pieces. I'm going over on the 29.5 with almost zero hesitation for Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if he's not easily into the 30s.
I would be too.
Again, if this offense is
like, I think he's going to approach 40.
I could see that.
So the 29.5, I'm going way over. That was the one I felt the strongest about on this list.
If this offense is what it was built to be, then. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these, you probably like the overs. But that one that's low.
That one's pretty low to me. Maybe.
Is that a Tannehill disrespect?
Maybe so.
Prop?
Maybe so. We'll see what happens on that front. We'll begin to find out the answers to some of these props. You can check those out on the FanDuel Sportsbook. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll look ahead to Tennessee's matchup against Pittsburgh. That's coming up next. But speaking of the FanDuel Sportsbook. The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook is celebrating with 40-1 odds on any Week 1 game. And who doesn't want to win $200 on a $5 bet? This is no Hail Mary. It's that simple. New customers get 40-1 odds when you place your first wager. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. I like the Titans in Week 1 against the Cardinals. You've got Tampa Bay coming up against Dallas as well. The defending champs back at home on Thursday night. Give me the Bucks in that game. But you take it any way you want to take it. The number one rated sportsbook app in America. And you can see for yourself why that's the case. They're always hooking you up with exclusive odds boosts, great promotions, and so much more. So just sign up to FanDuel Sportsbook with promo code ROB, and you can win $200 on a $5 bet. That promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wagering designated offer market. Max bonus of $200. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.